LAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Outside the Kia Forum in Englewood, California, Wednesday night. Approving drivers honking their horns at ICE protesters and in front of L.A. City Hall. Protesters starting a Mexican dance line. The festive mood far different from the unrest that had National Guard troops and Marines deployed. Several thousand anti-ICE demonstrators in San Antonio, Texas, again mostly peaceful. President Trump confirming that U.S. personnel are being moved out of embassies and missions in parts of the Middle East.
Well, they are being moved out because it could be a dangerous place, and we'll see what happens. But they are being, we've given notice to move out, and we'll see what happens.
It comes as Iran vows to strike American military bases in the region as if nuclear talks fail. RFK Jr. appointing 8 new members to the CDC's Vaccine Advisory Committee, including some critics of shots. He fired the entire board 2 days earlier. This is ABC News. One country is considering a social media ban.
French President Emmanuel Macron saying he plans to push for European Union regulation to ban social media for children under the age of 15. This comes after a 14-year-old at a school in eastern France stabbed a school assistant to death during a bag search for weapons. Macron says if the EU doesn't do it, France will pass the regulation because, quote, it cannot wait, end quote. Earlier this year, Australia banned social media for those under the age of 16. Inez de la Quatera, ABC News, Paris.
A split verdict in the Harvey Weinstein sex crimes trial. He was convicted of a top sex crime, but the jury acquitted him on other charges. The jury couldn't reach a decision on another count, which means he'll be back to deliberate Thursday. Survivors and family members of the 49 people killed in the Pulse nightclub massacre getting one last chance to walk through the venue this week before it's razed later this year. A permanent memorial will be built on the site. Dave Packer, ABC News.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin, chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right. You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Brewers fall to the Braves. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers lost to the Braves today 6-2. Milwaukee right-hander Chad Patrick struggled on the mound, giving up the first 5 runs. Manager Pat Murphy.
You know, he's been so great for us. He's a rookie. He's never faced being in that spot, so maybe that's going to be a good learning experience for him. We still have full confidence. He still got through 5.
So the Braves leave town winning the series 2-1. The Brewers beginning a 4-game home series tomorrow night against the St. Louis Cardinals. NBA Finals, the Pacers, led by Oshkosh native Tyrese Halliburton, hosting the Thunder tonight. That series tied 1 game apiece. NFL at the Packers minicamp. Wide receiver Bo Melton asked what his brother, Max Bolton, a defensive back for the Cardinals, had to say when he learned that he was trying out at defensive back.
Yeah, so when he seen it, he called me like, what the hell are you doing? Just because, you know, I've been playing wide out. This is something that, you know, came up. I'm going to, you know, give it a shot.
That's the Packers' Bo Melton with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. For the overnight, areas of showers and a partly to mostly cloudy sky. Temperatures will drop to the mid-50s. Winds will be light. On Thursday, look for some shower and thunderstorm chances to continue. Partly sunny. Highs will top out in the lower 70s. Currently 59 degrees.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome beauty queen and security expert Jenna Watkins. And then we grill pizza in the studio with Papa John's owner, Danny Bem. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
We need a fun listener name, something the followers of the show can call themselves. I thought, how about Couch Potatoes?
Potatoes.
I said it as a joke, and Todd cracked up. He goes, I love that. Whatever it is, folks, embrace your inner couch potato. We are not meant to work in the farms and hunt food. We were 1,000 years ago. But now, I think God wants us to sit back and be entertained.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Delighted to be joined by our next guest. He is the principal at Winskill Elementary School in Lancaster, Wisconsin. Principal Brad Sturmer is here. Good morning, sir. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, good morning to you guys. Glad to be here.
Happy to have you here. Really looking forward to talk about this. I found this in WPR from Corrine Hess, and the headline says, "This Wisconsin school excels at teaching math. Can its approach work statewide?" So my co-host Greg Bach and I are both mathematically challenged, which is why we do what we do. And I'm really fascinated by this. What is it that you are doing differently at your school that is helping change these numbers?
Well, there's definitely a lot to it. But, you know, it all starts with the people. We have great people in place here at Winskill, and teaching staff, support staff. You know, whenever I talk about things like this and, you know, how do you have the successes you do, I talk about people's structures and systems. But it's definitely people first. You really got to build a strong culture. I started here 7 years ago as elementary principal, and that was the focus year one, because we had a strong team in place, but culture and climate really needed to improve. So that's kind of where I start with that conversation, Jane, is, you know, people first, culture first, and that's got to always be the focus.
Brad, what is your background personally?
I was a high school math teacher for 15 years. Just growing up, I loved math, and I was a math major in college and decided to teach because I wanted to help others with, you know, with my math skills. Yeah, so 15 years in that. The last three, I also did some administrative work as an assistant principal. And then the elementary job came open in my district, and it's kind of felt like what I was called to do. And so now I'm here, and I love it.
Good for you.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Thank you for doing that. And I think teachers are heroes. I could not do your job even for one day without losing my mind. So I have so much respect for teachers. Is it... I always thought, Brad, and hopefully I'm wrong, that there are just some people who get math and others who don't. Or is it really about the way that it is presented to people that's more of an issue?
Definitely the latter, you know, how it's taught to kids, because all kids can learn math and how to do it. It's, you know, unfortunately, the way that, you know, a lot of us were taught math, probably you guys, myself included. It just isn't the way that it should be done. There's, you really got to focus on the why behind mathematics, and building the foundational knowledge at these early ages is absolutely critical. I mean, sometimes people overlook the importance of of the early ages in education for some reason. But yeah, the reality is if kids don't, if they're not at grade level by the end of third grade with regards to mathematics at grade level or higher, they're very, very likely to always struggle with math. And therefore what ends up happening is if kids struggle at math, and then you're getting taught fourth grade, fifth grade, the subject that's very challenging for you, you're going to end up basically hating it at some point.
You feel like a failure. You feel like you're, yeah. At least I did. It's like, there's something wrong with me that I don't get this and everybody else gets it.
Yeah. And that's unfortunate because that's just not the case. And, you know, along with that, what comes with that, too, the I hate math, I can't do math, a lot of times behaviors will come up, too, and just think of us as adults. Like, if somebody's asking us to do something that's really hard for us, and we can't do it, and it's every day, right? Every day, we need to do this, you need to do this. Like, it's hard, I can't do this. Well, eventually, kids are going to they're gonna have behavior problems.
Act out,
they
want to
get out of class, yeah. Or whatever it might be. Yeah. So,
well, yes, thank you for making me show up every day so I can fail is essentially what it feels like, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. And can we blame kids for that? I mean, think of us as adults. What would you do if you were asked to do something really, really hard every day, and then you start feeling, like you're just not like you guys were saying, like
you're not,
like
good,
you're
enough.
Not good at math.
Yeah.
Like, what's wrong with me? So we really need to put the ownership on ourselves as educators and leaders in education, that it's our job to make sure that we do our job very, very well, especially at an early age.
Well, so something that I've heard people speak about, and I don't have children, so I've never had an experience with it, but is quote unquote the new math, which I think has been around for a long time anyway. So it's not so much new, it's just a different way of doing math. In what you've created and being a math major, a person who enjoys math, what was the process of changing this program for you? Was it something you brought from your teachings, or did you sit down with teachers and say, hey, let's put together a program that will enrich all, will raise test scores, and will benefit all? What is the history behind how you changed your approach to teaching math at your school?
Well, I think, create a sense of urgency. When you look at data and you see that 40% of your kids are proficient or advanced in math, like that's not good enough. And you start throwing things at your teachers who really, really love their kids. And if you, tell them that, which again, this is the truth, if kids are behind mathematically after third grade, they're always going to struggle at it. And then you might be closing doors for kids. So like if you have a third grader who wants to be a vet tech someday, but they need to go to college for that. And I talked to my staff about they got to take algebra 2. A lot of colleges need you to [S2] Yep. [S1] Pass algebra 2. Well, that's a really hard class. And especially if kids struggled at math through all the way up to that point.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So you create that sense of urgency. Like this is really, really important. And then this is how it's done. This is how we need to teach math. And there's good resources out there. We happen to have a good one in place when I got here. So then it's just a matter of doing it to fidelity. And when I say fidelity, I'm careful with that because sometimes people think that means you do everything the textbook tells you, which is just not true. It just means you do it the right way all throughout the school and every grade and every class. And that's where it comes down to the structures and systems that I mentioned to you before. And I can get into some detail with that, but I'll see where you guys kind of want to take that.
No, sure. Yeah. Honestly, I'd love to know the detail because I think there might be teachers, principals, parents, and kids who might be listening who want to know how to maybe implement new techniques, best practices, things like that. So please give us some details. We'd love to hear.
If you're just joining us, Brad Sturmer is our guest. He's the principal at Windskill Elementary School in Lancaster, Wisconsin, and they're having success with the way they are teaching math and improving math scores. And also we're going to talk about your literacy program in just a little bit. But Brad, if you wouldn't mind going into a few more specifics about how this works, what are you doing?
Yeah. And I'll start with a quick reminder. It's people first, culture first, always. It's got to be the forefront of every conversation that anybody listens to this. Because without strong people, without a strong culture, none of the structures and systems I'm going to talk about work. One of the key structures is your schedule, right? You gotta have 90 minutes of math at every grade level. And there's a lot of schools that don't have that. I mean, our school, when I first got here, I kind of did an audit of the schedule and how much time you're putting towards math. And I mean, some grade levels were doing 45 minutes a day, which is just unacceptable. It's gotta be 90 minutes. You gotta put at least 60 in there for core, just like what you're delivering to all students, and then 30 minutes of some time that you can use to enrich your kids, the kids that need to be pushed in math. And sometimes that people lose focus on that, but there's a lot of kids that get bored with math because they learn it rather quickly or they already know it. So that 30 minutes, you got to have time to enrich those kids, but also time for some interventions for the kids that it's a little bit more of a struggle for, and you got to give them a little double dose of what you're doing. So that's an easy structure to fix. You got to have 90 minutes. And then one big thing we did here at Windskill was we departmentalized. And what I mean by that, so at fourth and fifth grade, we have three sections. And, you know, right in the first year, I made a schedule where we have one teacher that teaches math all day, and then one teacher that teaches literacy, and one teacher that teaches social science. So our math teacher will teach all three homerooms in a 60-minute block. And then later, and I'll share my schedule with anybody who wants it, anybody that's asked. So without getting into a lot of detail there, because, you know, there's more to it. But just that departmentalization is big, because then your teachers can become experts in that field. And you put people that are passionate about math in those positions, and they can – all their professional development and all the books that they read over the summer and, you know, everything that they, because teachers love their kids and they have a lot of passion for what they do. And if you put that passion towards one subject, that can be really beneficial. And it worked so well in those two grades the first couple of years we did it, that we ended up moving it to third grade. We have a little bit different format for that, but still it's one teacher teaches math all day. We have third grade math teacher. And then it worked so well that we moved it down to second grade. This past year, we departmentalized in second grade, and the teachers loved it. Kids thrived. My daughter was in that grade. It was fantastic in second grade. So that's been two big pieces there.
Well, that makes so much sense, Brad, to allow teachers to specialize in an area that they're really good at, because I think our teachers are asked to do so much and to be so many things to our kids. They're counselors and they're peacemakers and they're, you know, and then educator seems to be tagged on the back. So it's nice that they're able to concentrate their efforts in an area where they excel.
Right. And, you know, the reality is in elementary education, there's a lot of teachers that got into teaching for great reasons. They love kids. They want to help kids. But there's not a lot of kids that get it, or teachers, sorry, that get into education at the elementary level because they love math. Like, they're passionate about math. So for people like me that love math, went to college, got a math degree, teach, a lot of those people teach high school math.
Right.
Typically, right. High school, middle school math. But we can change that. We can change where schools are build passionate math teachers at the elementary level, and departmentalization is one way that you can do it so they can have that focus, because those are a couple of the structures. But then, you know, just the how you teach math is really important. You know, the tricks, the math tricks you got to throw out the window, you know, like something as simple as solving for proportion, you cross multiply and divide, like that's the way you're taught. But why does that work? And when you're doing two digit addition, and, you know, 5 + 8, you know, 3, you get carry the 1, like all of those things, you can't talk about math that way. And that's the way a lot of us were taught.
Absolutely.
Right? So we have to teach it differently. And it really boils down to the why behind mathematics. Why does this work?
We're going to continue our conversation with Principal Brad Sturmer, principal at Windskill Elementary in Lancaster, Wisconsin. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a three-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cow's milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant. 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of our cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Celebrating our dairy farmers with this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Mayer on Air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our guest is Brad Sturmer, principal of Windskill Elementary School in Lancaster. Nearly 80% of the students at Windskill either advanced or meeting expectations in math, according to the latest report card from DPI. So we were talking to Principal Sturmer about that and their successes. One of the things you had alluded to before we went to the break, Brad, was just about how the importance of math, and Greg and I were talking about this off the air during the break. Math is in everything. I mean, if you want to go into astronomy, if you want to go into science, if you want to go into the trades, if you want to be a musician, math is, as much as people like me might want to avoid it, math is everywhere.
It sure is, that's for sure. So, yeah, but I would totally agree with you on that.
One of the things also, sir, you wanted to talk to us about when you when we were going back and forth on getting you on the show was you also have a literacy program in your school that you wanted to discuss. Can you tell us more about that as well?
Yeah, you know, it's in the Act 20, something that came out a couple summers ago, and there's a lot of good behind it. There's some things that maybe are a little flawed with it, too, but there's a lot of focus on literacy right now in elementary education, and as there should be. But just saying that, and you know, you guys maybe saw a little or heard a little bit of my math passion come out. I could sit and talk about mathematics all day long. Mm-hmm. But anybody that wants to, you know, when they talk about how we teach math, they got to talk to my teachers here. They're just phenomenal. We have a great staff, just an NA team, an all-star team. It's amazing what these my teachers can do in this building. But, you know, with all the focus on literacy, which there needs to be, there does need to be a focus on mathematics still. So, like, we got to keep that in mind. But, yeah, with regards to literacy, we made some big changes with how we do things here. Right after, it was about 2020. And it all boils down to really having our teachers dig in deep to the science of reading and really learn how kids learn how to read. And what was fascinating about it was when I came down to the elementary level, I didn't have a clue how kids learned how to read. Not a clue. And obviously I needed to learn fast because I'm an elementary principal and a leader. Well, I was fortunate enough to have some people in my building. My brother-in-law was actually one of them. His name's Jim Addison. And he's a literacy savant, really. But he pointed me towards, we need to dig into the science of reading, Brad. And I did first. Strange, I got quarantined and I just had some time. and I dug deep and I was like, holy cow, this is fascinating and makes a ton of logical sense. And just my math brain I just think very logically.
Sure.
My brain works. And I was like, wow, this makes sense. And then my team, we dug into it together, and then we did 2 years of professional development with letters, and it's a resource teaching about the science of reading, which unfortunately a lot of universities now they're kind of forced to with Act 20, but they weren't teaching. There's a kind of a little debate with this, but they weren't teaching the science of reading to teachers that were going to teach kids to learn how to read. So anyway, long story short, our teachers bought in, dug in, learned how to do it, embedded in the science of reading, and we're seeing a lot of positive gains.
I'm curious as well, and I don't know that you have that there's anything quantifiable about this, but do you believe that it makes a difference if parents read to their kids when they're very small? Does that matter?
If they're what? I'm sorry, something.
If parents read to their children when they're very small, before they even get into school, do you think that matters?
100%. Yeah, just there's so much that goes into those preschool, birth to school that we can, as parents, can help our kids with learning how to read. And yes, reading to them is one of them, but just exposing them to a lot of vocabulary and background knowledge is huge with learning how to read, you know. And it's kids on phones is just, it's really been detrimental for a lot of things. Speech is, numbers are going through the roof. So just like exposing your kids to rich, just things so they build that background knowledge and vocabulary, those are definitely backbones to learning how to read.
Well, and I just think for me, I have very fond memories of being very, very small and sitting on my dad's lap while he read to me. But I think it is those kinds of emotions, and that gave me an affection for reading because of that bonding I had with my dad. So I think sometimes if you can instill that in your kids, that will give them an affection for it then.
Absolutely. Just seeing your parents enjoy reading and that goes, I'll go back to the math side of things. How many times parents will tell their kids, I hate math. I was no good at math. Like, oh, don't say that.
My mom used to say, you got your love for math from me, and we both hate math. I don't hate math. I love math. It's just unfortunate I can't wrap my brain around certain concepts because of the teaching thing. But
you need to develop a remedial course for adults at Winskill Elementary for math, Brad, for the mathematically challenged adults in the world.
We could do that. You catch on really quick.
He is the principal of Winskill Elementary in Lancaster, Wisconsin. Brad Sturmer has been our guest. It's been so interesting. Principal Sturmer, thank you so very much for joining us.
Yeah, no problem. I enjoyed hanging out with you guys today, and I love talking math. Anybody that wants to reach out to me, I've had some people do that via email or whatever. I'm happy to help, because if I can help even one teacher out there, one leader out there, then it eventually helps kids, which is why we're all in this business. So
thank you so much. We'll include a link in our show notes to Winskill Elementary. We have news coming up next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Outside the Kia Forum in Englewood, California, Wednesday night. Approving drivers honking their horns at ICE protesters and in front of L.A. City Hall. Protesters starting a Mexican dance line. The festive mood far different from the unrest that had National Guard troops and Marines deployed. Several thousand anti-ICE demonstrators in San Antonio, Texas, again mostly peaceful. President Trump confirming that U.S. personnel are being moved out of embassies and missions in parts of the Middle East.
Well, they are being moved out because it could be a dangerous place, and we'll see what happens. But they are being, we've given notice to move out, and we'll see what happens.
It comes as Iran vows to strike American military bases in the region in nuclear, as if nuclear talks fail. RFK Jr. appointing 8 new members to the CDC's Vaccine Advisory Committee, including some critics of shots. He fired the entire board 2 days earlier. This is ABC News.
The Brewers fall to the Braves. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers lost to the Braves today, 6-2. Milwaukee right-hander Chad Patrick struggled on the mound, giving up the first 5 runs. Manager Pat Murphy.
You know, he's been so great for us. He's a rookie. He's never faced being in that spot, so maybe that's going to be a good learning experience for him. We still have full confidence. He still got through 5.
So the Braves leave town, winning the series 2-1. The Brewers beginning a 4-game home series tomorrow night against the St. Louis Cardinals. NBA Finals, the Pacers, led by Oshkosh native Tyrese Halliburton, hosting the Thunder tonight. That series tied 1 game apiece. NFL at the Packers minicamp. Wide receiver Bo Melton asked what his brother, Max Bolton, a defensive back for the Cardinals, had to say when he learned that he was trying out at defensive back.
Yeah, so when he seen it, he called me like, what the hell are you doing? Just because, you know, I've been playing wide out. This is something that, you know, came up. I'm going to, you know, give it a shot.
That's the Packers' Bo Melton with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Summer blockbuster season rolls on this weekend with some great options if you are headed to the theater. The highly anticipated live-action version of How to Train Your Dragon opens this weekend and has a very solid 82% on Rotten Tomatoes when it comes to critics. This is the 4th installment of the franchise, but the previous films have all been animated. Materialists is the latest material from Studio A24. The rom-com stars Pedro Pascal as a New York City matchmaker caught in a love triangle. The film is drawing an 87% on Rotten Tomatoes. Science fiction drama The Life of Chuck opens wide this weekend. The film is reviewing well and based on a short story by Stephen King. And if you're in the mood for a Western, check out The Unholy Trinity. The film stars Samuel Jackson and Pierce Brosnan, but has not been reviewed yet. My assumption would be lots of good gunfights, decent acting, cheesy dialogue, and a pretty bad story, as it has not been made available to critics yet. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. For the overnight, areas of showers and a partly to mostly cloudy sky. Temperatures will drop to the mid-50s. Winds will be light. On Thursday, look for some shower and thunderstorm chances to continue. Partly sunny. Highs will top out in the lower 70s. Currently 59 degrees.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
All right, time to visit with Melissa Baldoff as we talk climate issues. Acting FEMA chief told staff he didn't know about U.S. hurricane seasons.
What?
See, you're speechless too.
I mean,
I love it. We're all just sitting here like, what?
If it is a joke, and I don't know that it is, it's not a funny one. We've seen more deadly hurricanes, so we have every reason to expect it will be a bad hurricane season.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Lily Roberts, she is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
They're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve out to our tax laws. The no tax on tips piece does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. You know, a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll be live from Shawnee, Wisconsin, where we'll be talking with some of the Democratic Party people locally about living in a red county in Wisconsin. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Make them laugh, make them laugh. Don't you know everyone wants to laugh? My dad said be an actor myself.
Good morning and welcome back to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach. Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us as well. Call or text at 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up in a little bit, around 10:52 or so, we will wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, as we always do. Today it is the Human Popsicle Edition. Stick around for that. And just a reminder, we have some baseball coming your way, too, depending upon where you are listening. The Brewers are hosting the Braves today. Our broadcast starts at 12:35. You can catch the game on terrestrial radio on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WRJN here in Racine and Kenosha, WCQM in Park Falls, and WBZH in Hayward. The Crew hosting the Braves. Our broadcast starts today at 12:35, and I wanted to share this real quickly, too. We had a comment on the live stream from Willoughby. Greetings from Nicaragua.
There you go.
If you have the Civic Media app, you can listen to us anywhere.
You could. We are everywhere in this world, and someday we will, I am serious, we will get to the International Space Station.
We're working
That's
on
my
it.
Goal.
We're working on it. Hello, Willoughby. Thank you for listening, and thank you for taking us along. We are delighted to be joined in studio by a longtime friend of mine.
Hey.
Rich Smith is here, co-founder of the Sixth Street Theater and Over Our Head Players here in Racine. Good morning, my friend. How are you?
Good morning. I'm wonderful. Thanks for having me.
I am so glad to have you in. Sixth Street Theater and Over Our Head Players have been in existence now for how long?
We're going into our 34th season.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. It's crazy.
We were so young.
I know. No, we haven't aged. It's all the same.
You guys are real old.
Yes, we're really old now. Wow, that's amazing. And you've been in Sixth Street for how many years?
We've been in the Sixth Street space now for 28 seasons. Yeah.
There you go.
It's great.
Very humble beginnings. First productions were at George's Bar.
Yep. We were a theater company that was born in a bar.
Born in a bar.
To say. Yep.
Theater in the bar.
I did a show at George's once, and it was definitely, as I said yesterday, it was definitely a show that happened.
The sight lines were terrible.
Yeah.
The sight lines of that place were terrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was a great space, and he was very accommodating for us for the shows that we did down there.
Yeah, it was a springboard. Like, hey, Dave, pop off. We want to come in your bar and
do plays
and stuff.
Oh,
and
sure, yeah.
Dave scratches his chin and says, I don't know, I'm trying to sell beer and soda. And we look at each other. Oh, we're going to sell a lot of beer and soda, Dave. No problem. Okay. We had no idea we were going to sell beer and soda.
None.
But we did.
And it worked.
It worked great.
For a long time.
We did that for 7 years. Yeah.
Wow.
That's unreal.
You were doing plays in there?
Yeah, we did plays.
We did a couple of heavy things.
That is Wisconsin to the core.
Yeah.
We're going to go see that play at a bar.
At a bar, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Theater in the bar. It was perfect for show. And again, we did some very silly shows.
Oh, yeah. Mostly comedy. Mostly comedy.
Cheese Louise remains one of my favorite dumb plays
I'd
of
love
all
to bring
time.
It back. Yeah.
It's very, very silly.
A revival of A revival.
Cheese Louise.
It's called Cheese Louise in the Dells. No One Can Hear You Scream is the full title.
Jeez.
It's about Augie and Louise, who own a gas station and bumping car ride in the Dells called Augie and Louise's Cheese Louise Bump and Pump. And a Flatlander dies on the bumper car, and they end up going to jail for murder. And they have to raise money to pay their legal fees, so they throw up a variety show, and that's the whole play. But this group in Chicago did it, and we saw it down in Chicago. We're like, this is hilarious. And we said, hey, we want to do this in Wisconsin, can we? And they said, yeah, go ahead.
Sure. So, did you have to pay royalties or anything?
We did. We worked it out with them on the side. I think we gave them like $100.
Oh, that is hilarious.
Yeah.
We got money for beer for the show.
We actually did do it twice.
We did it. We brought it back.
And we brought it back.
I had to look them up. They were called the Illegitimate Players at the time. And they did a few funny things out of a small storefront theater in Chicago, and we followed them for a while. But when we brought it back, I had to look them up on Facebook and say, hey, do you want some money? Because we're going to do your play again.
Oh, that is so funny. Yeah. Well, Sixth Street, we were talking before you joined us, the whole Snowdance Festival, which is now an international festival.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah. It is. I mean, you get entries from all over the world.
Yeah.
And this is a big event in Racine.
Yeah, we love it. We wish we had a bigger space. So our theater seat's like 80, you know?
Yeah.
And when we first did Snowdance, we were like, Snowdance is a competition of 10-minute comedies. So, you know, a trumpet player needs a trumpet. A playwright needs a theater, you know?
Right.
And so theater playwrights rather love it. They'll find you. They've got short 10-minute comedies. They're eager to get them in someone's hands.
And there's nowhere to perform these.
Not a lot.
Right?
Not a lot.
Where do you go with these things?
Yeah, we've got to look at it. We might be the longest running 10-minute comedy festival now.
Wow.
Of just comedies. There's a lot of 10-minute play festivals, but 10-minute comedy festivals. And the last time we checked, we're the only ones that were like a competition. So like we'll take in these scripts from all over the world, and we'll pick 8 or 9 or 10 of them that are the funniest, and we'll put them back-to-back-to-back order. And then when an audience member comes in, they get their program, and then they get a little ballot with their program.
They get to vote. Mm-hmm.
So they'll watch all the finalists, and they'll vote for the one that they think is funniest, and then we'll give that playwright a cash prize.
Wow.
So it's big fun. People like being the boss.
They
like being the judge.
People like winning hot cash.
Is there a big trophy involved?
There's a weird trophy. You know what it is? Dick Chudnow from Comedy Sports gave us this loving cup. A bunch of us used to play Comedy Sports together. And the first time we won a Comedy Sports match against Milwaukee, he gave us this ridiculous old bowling trophy that's all dented. It's a loving cup. It's huge. And I kept it ever since. And so it doesn't travel.
It stays in the theater. Mm-hmm.
But it's our little award that we hold up once in a while.
I'll make this connect, I promise. So this past weekend was the finals of the French Open, and Coco Gauff won the French Open. Mm-hmm. And when they win, they hoist this giant trophy over their head. Well, that trophy stays in France, and they get, I'm not kidding you, what looks like it was bought at a trophy store. A tiny trophy. And she was like holding it next to her head, like, this is how big it is. So maybe there could be like a smaller, like,
made out of plastic, like,
just
or
like,
something.
Yeah. Like, here's our trophy. Here's what you get. And it's just like
an even cheaper version.
Yeah, exactly.
We'd have to find an artist to duplicate the dents and bends.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah, great. So that's Snowdance.
I know that Sixth Street recently did a big interior redesign, as it were. Yeah. You put in new chairs and everything.
Yeah. So we love being part of downtown Racine. Mm. I mean, that's part of our bit. You know, we love hearing restaurants say, we were super busy, you guys must be doing a play. That's awesome to us. So we wanted to stay downtown, and we want to stay there. You know, we want to keep storefront theater alive and well in Racine. We definitely have an audience for it. Ticket sales are great.
Yeah.
So we want to stay down there. So we did a capital campaign a couple of years ago to take our storefront space and make it more of a studio storefront atmosphere with some updated lighting equipment overhead, and sound system, and more LED lights, and
nice,
and new chairs. People are getting bigger.
Yes.
Yeah.
People are getting bigger. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not. But
you're not. You look great, actually. You look fantastic. But I mean, again, it's a small space the way it is, and so you do want folks to be comfy.
Yeah, yeah. So that was a big step for us. Yeah. So we lost a couple seats out of our. We were 84. Now we're like 80.
So 80. All right.
It's worth it.
What I own a venue in I co-own a venue in Milwaukee. We do stand-up comedy, and it's 80 seats as well, and. You know, working around that small venue, but trying to make it a big welcoming space. Like, I saw some of the pictures, and it just looks like it. You went all out on the redesign. It looks very, very beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
To really make people comfy inside. Because it is about fitting in the seats. That's a good thing too. It's like no one wants to sit in an airplane seat when going to see a theater experience.
Right.
But it's also just when you walk in and have that comfy. Layout and what I saw looks wonderful. So
great. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. We had a moment where we thought maybe we should find another space, and we're selling out, things are going great. I don't want to, jinx us or anything. And, so we did a little poll of some of our subscribers and stuff, and they're like, don't you dare,
we love you there.
We love the intimacy of, like, you feel like you're in the experience.
Well, you are so close to the stage.
You're on it.
Yeah. Yeah. You really do feel like you're part of it.
When we hold auditions, I have to watch if people spit because they are not in. If you're going to spit during an audition, we
you're
can't
gonna hit
have
the
you.
First three rows.
I know right, you went like, to Juilliard, but man, I am covered. This isn't disgusting.
This isn't a Gallagher show. Yeah. You're close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very close.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what is coming up for this season now? Are you dark all summer?
We're not. We're not. I'd like to be sometimes.
I bet you would.
No, I get it. It's okay. Summers are so busy in Racine. There's so much going on, which is great. So we're finishing our season right now with, we have two more weekends of the 39 Steps.
Classic
which is
play.
A classic, yeah. Like hilarious thing that's gotten crazy popular in the last 15 years. And we love it. And our audience loves it. It's good fun. Tickets are still available for that. Overheadplayers.org. And that's still running for two more weekends. And then we're doing a thing in late July called Smorgasbord.
And what is Smorgasbord?
Yeah, it's this thing. So there's a dude in town, Nick Ramsey, who has a non-for-profit called Family Power. And Nick is all about supporting local artists, musicians, poets, anything. And so we're doing a thing called Smorgasbord where we're welcoming eight, I guess, or more maybe, different artists in like a very casual talk show, sort of a coffee shop setting. So when you come into Smorgasbord, you know, you get welcomed, you get wine, you get beer with the show, and they're going to meet different artists. You're going to meet a poet who's going to do some poetry. You're going to meet a vocalist who's going to sing and perform. You're going to meet a musician who's going to play some music. You're going to get to watch a snow dance 10-minute comedy performed that has never been selected for production.
Oh, that's awesome.
So you'll get a little comedy and a little bit of theater, and you'll get a culinary artist. Emerson, the guy who owns Dragon Pit Barbecue next to us, is our first culinary artist. So you're going to learn a little bit about how to smoke meat and the art of barbecue,
food.
And then everybody gets a little bit of barbecue with their wine and stuff. And the whole thing will take about 75 minutes. You'll meet some great local artists, have a little snack, a little wine.
That sounds wonderful.
That sounds fun. We're really excited about it. That's the last weekend in July. Tickets will be on sale for that on our website, I think, next week. So,
well, and again, what a wonderful place to highlight local talent, which, again, I just don't know how many places that there were poets can go poet.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know?
I got to go poet somewhere.
I have to go poet.
Jeff on the live stream says he loves the drink holders there.
Oh, thank you,
what
Jeff.
What's special about the drink holders?
We spared no expense for those, Jeff.
Are they in the chair?
Yeah. So, yeah, the old chairs, you had to figure out where to put your beer because we're not shy about that.
Yeah.
We make jokes that all of the sales of our concessions at the 6th Street Theater go to ensure that the overhead players will be here for future generations. So when you're drinking at intermission, you're drinking for the children.
You're doing it for us.
Yeah, that's
you're what you're drinking it for art.
Yeah. So we had to make sure there were cup holders in there, but I'm glad they're being used.
Yeah.
If anyone is listening, you are always holding auditions too. And you're always looking, right? You're looking for stage hands and you name it.
Jane, I want you to read this first. I want you to read this monologue right now, please.
I don't know. I don't know if I can audition for this group.
Oh, you're in. You already have. You're a veteran. You've been on stage with us before.
But if people are interested in getting involved, we will include all the contact info for Over Our Head Players.
Everything can be found at overourheadplayers.org. And we're kind of on the shoulder now. Like, our season is ending and the new stuff's coming on. So if you go there and you don't see new things yet, check back in another week because everything's coming up now.
Support your local theater. It's a wonderful organization. Overourheadplayers.org at the 6th Street Theater in Racine. Rich Smith, good to see you, my friend. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
We got This Shouldn't Be a Thing coming up next. Stay with us. This is Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You want to feel important.
You want to be part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things.
You want to feel like you belong.
We know. We felt that way too, and that's why we did something about it.
We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers.
We are normal people just like you, but our part-time service in the Army National Guard means we get to be more.
When our communities are in need, we get the chance to stand up and do something about it.
We get to serve in our own region and help the people we call neighbors.
From the lake shores of Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota,
the fertile fields of Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa, to the wide open plains of North and South Dakota,
we are here for our hometowns.
And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
State Senator Kelda Royce.
The vast majority of people on Medicaid are already working, and it is Medicaid that makes it possible for them to work. People who are disabled or have chronic illnesses, and without that health care, they would be out of the workforce. They would have no ability to participate in the economy, and now they can. Medicaid is one of the greatest workforce programs this country has ever built, and they are trying to dismantle it, and with it, they're going to take people's lives and economic security.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt and Air on Air.
Rick Reed is here, an economics instructor.
Remember the film, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles? A driver is riding parallel to him and honking their horn saying, you're going the wrong way. And Candy and Steve Martin go, ha, 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 how do they know where we're headed? Congress and the administration are saying, this is what we're going to do for our budget. But at the end of the day, the Congressional Budget Office basically said that bill is going to create another $3.8 trillion in debt over the next 10 years.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome, welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up in just a little bit after the 11 o'clock news. Be listening for the voices of Greg and me.
Ooh.
We're going to give you the keyword you want to text in via the Civic Media app next hour. It's all part of our Scani Summer Statewide Text to Win contest. You have a chance to pick up either $100 in hot cash or a pair of Milwaukee Brewers tickets, club level seats. Everybody who enters in the drawing for one of two grand prizes, a little summer getaway in either Door County or Baraboo with gas to get you there. So be listening for that keyword again coming up after the 11 o'clock news and the Tom Hartman Show. Spelling counts.
If you want the key, listen to Jane and me. Oh, there you go.
Spelling counts. So make sure you get the word correct. Yes. That is coming up after 11 o'clock. You have four chances to enter through this Friday is when the contest will wrap up. It's the 7 o'clock hour with Pat, 11 o'clock hour with Tom Hartman, 2 o'clock hour with Todd Alba and Maggie Dawn at 4 p.m. So our statewide Scani Summer Text Win Contest coming up right after 11 o'clock. Tomorrow is Thursday, so Jim Santel will be here, our friend and colleague and host of Amicus, a law review Saturdays across the network from 9 to 11. Little Weather and Wine with Brittany Merlot.
Mm-hmm.
See what we got coming up. And then J.R. Radcliffe from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel will be here to talk all things sports. Someone said he's got married. Yeah, I don't believe it.
Really?
No.
You think he's lying?
I think he's lying. I think the announcement that he joined the Steelers on Friday got completely wiped off the pages because of all the other news, and I think he's feeling looked over.
Oh, well.
Would that surprise you?
I mean, no, it wouldn't at all. Like, I don't know. Like, all the jokes I want to make are not FCC compliant. So, I just think Aaron Rodgers is a joke.
I think he's done.
He's done. Be done.
Yeah. Go live a happy
go
life.
Go start a podcast.
Do something.
Yeah.
Calvin, it's 10:55. That means it's time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. This from the UPI, our favorite guy, Ben Hooper, with the byline. The headline reads, Swiss man buried in snow for 2 hours to break world record. There's a picture of him, too.
Great.
Elias Meyer, a competitive power lifter.
I thought you were going to say a competitive snow sitter.
Well, now he is. A competitive power lifter said he wanted to shoot for the Guinness Book of World Record on the cold endurance test. So he spent more than 2 hours buried in snow wearing only swimming trunks. He decided to take on the challenge after finding out that no one had yet gone past 2 hours. The previous record sent by Valerian Romanowski in 2022 of Poland stood at 1 hour, 45 minutes, and 2 seconds. Meyer's like, I can beat that. Wearing only a swimsuit, Elias was buried under a mound of snow for 2 hours and 7 seconds. He said the cold wasn't so much the problem as it was the weight of the snow pressing on him.
I saw that picture. Whatever.
He doesn't look terribly uncomfortable.
Yeah. This is one of those world records that someone's going to beat next year and then the next year. And then it's not going to stand for 30 years. My grandfather set the record for snow sitting back in 1904 and no one's done it since.
I would just think as a power lifter, as far as competitions go, this seems kind of less.
Jane, maybe he's a power lifter who's not winning competition.
He's not a good power lifter.
He needs something to fall back on. And I want to, by the way, I want to air a grievance.
Please do.
I'm going to put this story onto the growing pile of Tizbats we've done, where I will show them to all of my friends in Europe anytime they want to look down their nose at America. Now, I don't get all you rah-rah USA Murican people, but when they make fun of America, I'm like, you guys chase cheese down a hill, you throw tomatoes at people for fun, and you sit in snow to win records. You're not much better than us. Come at me, brah.
Yeah, I just have a feeling that some American now is going to try and beat the snow sitting record.
I'm going to eat 2 hours worth of snow. That's what I'm going to do. It's going to be barbecue.
Elias Meyer said the whole point was to demonstrate the body is capable of incredible things. Yes, yes, it is.
Like sitting inside where it's warm and there's a TV and I don't have to worry. I don't want to sit in the snow. I don't like being in the snow. I don't like sitting in my car when it's snowing. I'm not going to voluntarily just sit in the snow.
You could break the record. It's only to 2 hours and 7 seconds.
Well,
something to shoot for.
Folks, you heard it here first. I am making a claim that I will never try to break this record.
I think that's fair enough.
As an American, I'm quitting before I start.
That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers, because without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today, even if it's just a little tiny bit and you have the chance to share it. We got news coming up next, followed by Tom Hartman from 11 to 2, Todd Alba 2 to 4, Maggie Dawn 4 to 6, and then Pete Schwabo with Nightlight 6 to 8 p.m. Keep it here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. Demonstrations protesting the Trump administration's immigration enforcement operations taking place in cities across the U.S. Wednesday, including San Antonio, Texas. The demonstrations in Texas' second largest city remained peaceful, even as the Texas governor, Greg Abbott, mobilized the National Guard to San Antonio. It's the second night of a curfew in Los Angeles, where the overnight protests have remained mostly peaceful. 4,000 troops from the California National Guard and 700 Marines now in different locations in L.A. Major General Scott Sherman.
Strictly for the protection of the federal personnel and the protection of the federal building, they're allowed to temporarily detain and wait for law enforcement to come and arrest them.
In a remote area of Washington State, police believe they're closing in on Travis Decker, accused of murdering his three daughters. This is ABC News.